Welcome to Behind the Curtain. We're your hosts, Jessica and Katie, and we're here to give you a peek at how we plan exciting learning experiences for teachers. From big ideas to little details, we'll spill all of our secrets to making tech-enhanced learning awesome. Ready to see what's behind the magic? Let's get started.
Hello, everybody. We are excited to bring you our very first episode. So just know this could be an epic fail, but we want to also show you that we like to get out of our comfort zone. So I do have to let you know that Jessica, she loves podcasts and she just loves them. And she's been trying to convince me for probably a year about finding a project to do a podcast. And I'm going to be real honest. I've been anti-recording podcasts, but I have finally broken. I'm going to give it a test. Not because I don't like podcasts. I love a good podcast. I think I learn most of what I know from podcasts nowadays. But I just hadn't ever made one. She has finally convinced me, broken me down. So we are going to give it a shot. And we're going to use this opportunity to talk to y'all about kind of how we plan and how we organized it. Because y'all see the finished product, but we have a lot of questions about, well, how did y'all get there? So we wanted to talk you through that and hopefully answer some of those questions. So Jessica, how are you feeling about podcasting today?
All right. I feel a little bit nervous, but also a little bit excited. Today, we're using the new Adobe podcast tool. I'm trying to get a sense of how it works and is it easy enough for even our littlest learners to use. And so far, I would say we're doing okay.
I think we're doing okay. Yeah, it's pretty easy so far. I think one thing to note is kind of why did we choose a podcast? So when we were thinking about a way to give you this information, we wanted something to be super flexible. So I know that podcasts are on the go, easy to go, and can kind of be screen-free in a way. So we love that. We can just listen as we're driving or walking or doing whatever we're doing. So we wanted to use something that was really accessible. And I think it can have a pretty cool place in learning with students as well. When we were looking at some of the ways to plan out this podcast, a lot of it centers around main ideas, supporting details, argumentative essays, and all of those are things we have to teach. So it just gives us kind of a new way to do that. As we get started, do you want to start us off with talking about the designer standard and how we approach planning for this?
Module 3 is all about the designer standard. The ISTE standard for designer is that educators design authentic, learner-driven activities and environments that recognize and accommodate learner variability. And just like good teachers start with academic standards, we started with those ISTE standards as our foundation for planning. And we really wanted to bring that standard to life by designing an authentic experience for our teachers.
So kind of as we were getting started, we looked at the different frameworks. And if you could see Jessica's board right now, we're actually in our office recording this and it is a bunch of crazy. So if you came in here, you'd be like, oh my goodness. But we started with the frameworks kind of as our background. And we thought, hey, this is how we plan. And these are the things we need to consider. And so TPAC is one that we're going to be using a lot this year. So it's talking about the integration of technology, pedagogy, and content, as y'all just learned. That is probably one of my personal favorites because I think it really keeps learning at the center, which sometimes in the technology world, it can get technology focused, which is absolutely not what we intend to do. We want to make sure that the learning is where the focus is. So it's finding, hey, what is the perfect balance between strong pedagogy, the knowledge of the content as you as a teacher, and then how does technology support that? And so for me, that one is one that really sticks out in terms of the strength of putting the learner first and the standard that you're teaching first.
And I think that too is how we planned this. Like TPAC really is how we started off with that content piece. And then we said, okay, well, what do good teachers do? How would good mm-hmm. teachers go about teaching this?
Yeah. Absolutely. And then I know just from a special education background, UDL is something I spent a lot of time studying. And I know that it's a commonly used word. I think now that kind of bringing it back in, that is where we really started looking at differentiating in terms of giving a lot of choice. So as we were planning, we were saying, hey, what are different ways that our learners learn? And that's really where that UDL kind of principle came in for us. in terms of giving you a video, giving you something that you could read, and then giving you even a summary. And hey, some people might do all three. That's awesome. You don't have to choose one or two. I know personally, I'm a video girl. If you give me a video, I am happy as can be because I like a nice, quick little video.
Katie likes to watch videos on like 2x speed too. Every time I catch her watching a YouTube video or watching a video for like that we're going to share with teachers, she's always watching it on 2x speed.
It's a great trick, guys. Try it out if you don't. Hey, even the Rise Challenge, you can watch that on 2x speed. Just letting you know. That's how I check it. So,
and yeah. I think UDL really, in addition to being about providing choice of how they learn, I think we also tried to incorporate choice in this module for different ways that you could show what you've learned.
Absolutely.
Different type of choice, but I think equally important.
And you're going to notice with the designing principle in terms of using similar buttons. So we use a lot of visual cues, which I think is an underutilized advantage of technology, is the ability to quickly insert different visual cues for different learners. I know in a special education classroom, it is much easier for me to show a symbol that says you are going to this purple and have that purple. For us, it was play, and students be able to find that. And the advantage of using an LMS like Schoology is you can integrate that all in pretty easily, but it's kind of coming up with what are those symbols? What do they represent? And that is part of what UDL is making a learning environment that all students have access to. Is it going to help your students who maybe have higher levels of needs? Yes, but I assure you someone else in your class is also going to benefit from that. And so finding the easy ways to integrate that into our LMS was one thing we really wanted to focus on too, which is why we added a lot of graphics, visuals. If you are someone who likes the visualization of stuff, then that's a great advantage to you as you're learning.
And then I think the other thing that we did in this specific module was using pages to kind of organize that. Instead of having everything in there as separate links to really showcase that benefit, we put everything on a page. Mm-hmm. And then because we had it on a page, then that also allows tools like Immersive Reader to be used, mm-hmm. so that it gives students an extra way that they can go about having accessibility features that they wouldn't have otherwise.
Absolutely.
If they were just going out to a separate link. So that's something we wanted to show off in this.
And I really think about our students who have distractibility issues, and that when we put it on a page, there's no other distractions. We're not having to worry about them clicking anywhere else there. It is all in one simple place. No more clicks, just trying to streamline that process. Another thing we intentionally did in that first section where we were having y'all learn the content and choose the content is using paper graphic organizers. I'm a strong believer in the accountability part of the learning, especially with technology. And I rarely had my students do a technology project that did not also have some type of component that was on paper for a couple different reasons. Number one, I just think you learn differently sometimes when you're drawing or when you're writing with a pencil on paper. And so that's one thing I know we've talked about is the strength of pairing up paper with whatever they're learning online. So if the information is coming from online, I typically have some type of graphic organizer that my students completed that was a piece of paper, because that kind of gave them a little bit more accountability, but also I think really helped their learning and gave them another way to interact.
Well, and then what the follow-up from that was that we went from the learning online onto the graphic organizer that was on paper. Mm-hmm. And then we took what was on that paper and had our teachers create something with that. And so I think the same is true going from notes on paper into creating something digital. Because I know that students, even high school students, don't do really well switching back and forth between tabs. Mm-hmm. And so I think just that having that piece of paper as in the middle,
absolutely,
really helps on both sides.
And we'll just tell ourselves, we straight up printed all of our notes today. So we're not even going from tab to tab. So that expectation for students, I think, can sometimes be a really big one.
Now in task one, we really focus on giving our teachers, or our students in this case, a choice of how they went about learning. But as we transitioned into task two, we wanted to give everybody a choice of like how to show what they know, how to show what they've learned during that process. Katie, do you want to talk a little bit about how we went about choosing those products?
Yeah, so we had a couple ideas, but we always like to have a little jump start from the good old ChatGPT. That is our best friend around here. So Jessica had ChatGPT, or what did you use Magic School?
This one I use Magic School.
Okay, Magic School.
Because Magic School has a choice boards tool. So as a teacher, you can go into magicschool.ai and they have a tool in there called choice boards, and it'll give you several different ideas for what final products could look like. We did not just go with, okay, we're just going to use all of those. We kind of use that as a launch pad toward selecting some with great intentionality.
And as we were selecting, one of our big goals was to provide an option that was on paper. So you're going to notice sketchnoting. That's on paper. That's really going to lean towards your very artistic students or your students that visualize, like work well with mind maps, stuff like that. That sketchnoting practice is going to be great for what they probably are going to prefer to do. Then we went with one that was more video based. And so that was the unboxing video. So we tried to do something that was engaging based on their real world experience. They've seen unboxing videos, probably a lot of them. How many times now do we ask, what do you want your job to be? And they're like an influencer. So that kind of that connection for them. And then the last one, so that one's fully tech. And then the last one that we looked at was creating that Amazon page. Mm-hmm. And so that one is a different type of technology tool where you're doing more of the typing and writing versus kind of the video part of it. And so all of that uses different skills, but it's all within the same content. I know one common question we get is, that's great if I give them three options, how do I grade that? And one of my favorite features on Magic School AI is the ability to create rubrics that match those choice boards. And so creating a general rubric kind of gives you that flexibility. So students still have that chance to pick and decide which, how do they want to express their learning, but you as a teacher still have a very solid, easy to use rubric that allows you to grade and quickly kind of move through that content, because we don't want grading to take forever. And so that was one reason that we intentionally chose those, is to mix up the types of actions they would do, whether it be paper or whether it be video or it going to be mostly online. So,
and I think on that one, all of the links that we gave to the teachers, so when they were deciding which product they were going to choose, all of that came from Matt Miller's online resources. And he's the author of Tech Like a Pirate. And he's got a lot of great ideas, and he's got great templates, and pretty much everything that he has is open. He shares openly online. So it's just a great resource if you do want to try something with a choice board and you don't want to have to create all of the directions and all of the things. It gives you a great starting point as a teacher too.
And the last thing I would say on that, and maybe you can speak more to the middle and high as well, but in elementary school, if I was going to do a choice board, I would have previously done each of these activities with the students as maybe a whole group activity, or that was like our final product. I would probably not jump in the first day and say, here are your three options. Good luck. Because the product, they're not going to know those expectations really well. So whenever I tried to work towards having a lot of choice, maybe in that third, fourth quarter for my students, but I was working with second graders, so it took us a while to kind of get those skills. But one thing I would definitely know, like I would have done sketch notes with my students before I would have put that on my choice board. I would have done unboxing with my students before I put that on my choice board. So that would just be a tip from an elementary side. They might be a little more flexible as they get to middle and high school, and maybe they've done some of these before, but from elementary, I would explicitly teach those before.
Well, and I think in secondary, they've had opportunities to experience different tools. And so I think one thing that was really neat is that we didn't say, okay, use this tool to make your video. We kind of left that open because we know that our educators have lots of different tools that they may fall back on and that they may try. And so I think with secondary students, you can leave that a little bit more open, depending on their age and depending on how much experience they have with using technology in the classroom. But Katie, let's talk about task three in the Triple E framework.
Yeah, so Triple E, I think, was cool as it was new to me and to you. So we'd never really seen this. We've seen a lot of different frameworks, but Triple E is not one that we were really familiar with. And some of the reasons we liked that Triple E framework is that we saw a lot of connection with our different frameworks, whether it be TPAC, SAMR, UDL, and we were able to kind of go through and say, hey, where it says technology creates supports and scaffolds, well, that connects really well to our principles of UDL. Or where it says that the technology is creating from passive to active social learners, I'd say that connects to SAMR and to TPAC. And so one reason we really liked that is it was really easy to use. And it gave us a good idea of when to use technology, keeping in mind that the learning goes first, technology goes second. And if the technology does not actually add value to the assignment, we don't need to use it in that place. And also a way to reflect and say, how can technology add more value? Because if it is something that's not very valuable, then we need to look at our lesson again and think about, how do we increase that cognitive effort maybe the kids are putting in, or how do we do something with technology they wouldn't be able to do without it? And so I think we really like that as a Triple E framework, and something that we're continuing to use as we look into the future, since it was new to us.
Well, and I think too, one thing that that you and I mentioned, or that you had mentioned when we talked earlier, was just kind of about the idea that as we were planning, we wanted something that would have our, have this group reflect on what, on what they have planned, and on what their classroom can look like, and what the possibilities are. Another component that we added here in task number three was trying to showcase how you can differentiate by level. We talked about like choice of how you learn, choice of how you show what you know. And in this particular case, we really wanted to differentiate task three based on level. And so when we created the discussion boards, we actually separated it out so that elementary teachers had one case study and a discussion board where they could have a chat and talk about that case study, and secondary had a different case study and they were able to have a different discussion. And I think some benefits of that were, one, that they were looking at something that was directly related to their level. And the other thing was that there were fewer people on the discussion board, so you could really have kind of maybe a more meaningful conversation without getting lost in, you know, over 20 something people in that conversation, which I thought was really helpful. But in setting that up, we just used Schoology to do that. And I think that's probably a feature that not many teachers realize that you can use.
Yeah, I agree. And going even a step further, we did it for discussion posts, but you can create Schoology groups within a course really easily, and you can make those needs based if you needed to, and give different assignments. From a student perspective, they don't know what they're working on is any different. So what a great way to scaffold and still have them feel that their work is really valuable, and it not be broadcast to the whole world, hey, they got a different assignment and they needed a little bit more support. So it's just a really cool way that everyone gets an assignment. No one knows what's different. They only see what's on their screen that's at their level. And you can set these groups up and with inside of Schoology, and then you can assign different work to them really easy. So I know when we did it, we typed in each individual name. The benefit of this is anytime you do an assignment, not even a discussion post, it could be a Google Slides type of activity, you are able to just type in, hey, I want the bluebirds to go to the bluebird group, or whatever you decide to name it. And when we were talking about needs-based here, or here we're talking about interest level, really, mm-hmm. Great way also if you have projects that you're working on that you could put a group working on one similar project and kind of use like a jigsaw. So a couple different ways you could use that, whether it be needs-based or it could just be the content is different for each of those. So really underutilized tool, but I think could have a lot of value for some of our classrooms.
I think the other thing we tried to showcase in this, and we'll probably come back to it again, but what's differentiating, I don't know that many people realize that you can respond on a discussion board in a way other than just typing, mm-hmm. which I think is really helpful for younger students who maybe can't type as well or can't write as well, but also just give some of accessibility to students that maybe worry about their spelling or things like that.
Especially with RIP Flip, it gives us another way to do that and to share videos and kind of have that collaboration feature. So I think that's really cool. And as a teacher, you can also respond back by video or talk too, which I think is really great for responding to younger students specifically. They love to hear their teacher's voice.
What did you say was going to... Didn't you say there's something on the horizon coming?
Oh, yes. Hot take, friends. Hot take. We will, we just talked with Screencastify, I think last week, and they are developing something that looks very similar to the old Flip. I don't know if they'll ever get it just like Flip, because I was a true lover of Flip. But they're going to create their software where the student side looks much more similar to Flip, where it'll have their videos where they can easily go in and watch each other's, and they can add emojis. I mean, such a small thing, but makes it way more fun. Kids love adding those emojis and be able to have like a background or a board where they can work something out and be able to see it. So that is coming. They quoted in a month ish.
Oh,
that's I know that's so soon, and I'm so excited about it. But as soon as I know about it, y'all will know about
it. That's right. This is our early release beta group, so they'll be the first to know.
If you have made it this far, we're also very impressed, but we're almost there. So as we finish up, we are going to talk quickly about the bridge to practice. To me, this is probably the most important part. This is where we actually put the learning into action and using it in the classroom. One of our big goals with this cohort, and you'll see this as we get a little bit further through the year, is that we want the application to be in your classroom, because that's the reason I know that y'all wanted to come here probably, and where we wanted to provide this is because we want this to get to the students. We want to be able to impact the students. And so with the bridge to practice, we try to keep it pretty simple. And it was just, hey, analyze now that you've learned about this triple E framework and see, does it change how you are currently planning? Or it could be some of the tools that we've learned today that maybe you're going to use those after you've reflected to create something that maybe has more active social learning or that includes reflection and self-assessment using a technology tool.
I think the other thing that we're trying to be consistent about is within each of the modules is to have some type of evidence of what you've learned during the module that you can add to your portfolio or add to your blog without having to create something separate and disconnected each of the modules. And so I think this really fit that nicely, where everybody would have something that's based on what you learned during this module. This is what you did in your classroom, and here's how it went. And I think that's ideal.
Yeah, and also y'all are absolute rock stars. That's why you're in the cohort as well. And we know that y'all have great ideas. So we also want to be able to see this, because teachers collaborating is probably one of the strongest things that we can do, because we learn from y'all all the time when we walk into your classrooms. And so we definitely wanted to make sure that you got to put your own personality, your own learning. Y'all all have different educational backgrounds that add more value to this that we get to learn from and other people get to learn from. So putting it in your classroom is the best place to showcase a lot of that.
All right, Katie. So if they've made it this far,
first of all, I am so impressed with y'all. If you made it this far, I'm really impressed. I don't know if I would have made it this far, but I would have, because I would have listened at 2 times. I would have been done about 10 minutes ago.
This is about my ride to work. The length is about my ride to work. So
yeah,
I might give it a try in the car.
Oh, okay. Well, if they made it this far, I think that they should get a little treat. I think now, we actually talked about this before we started recording, and we were just going to have y'all say that you made it this far. But instead, I actually want y'all to email us and tell us, where did you listen to this podcast? Were you driving in the car? Were you taking a nice walk? Were you
doing the dishes?
Were you in your classroom? We just want to know. We want to know where you were as you were listening to this podcast. And if you send that to our email, just CC both of us, then you're going to get a little treat in the mail. Or maybe you'll get a hand delivery. We'll see. We'll see how many people made it this far.
That's right. Well, that's a wrap for this episode of Behind the Curtain. We hope you've enjoyed the sneak peek into our planning process. If you're feeling inspired or have any questions, we'd love to hear from you. Stay tuned for more behind the scenes magic in our next episode. Until then, keep innovating, keep exploring, and we'll catch you next time.